Hello, and welcome to the Nuance MidCap Value Semi-Annual Update Teleconference. My name is Michelle, and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and during the question-and-answer session, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Paul Gillespie, Vice President and Senior Client Portfolio Manager. Sir, you may begin.
Thanks, Michelle, and good afternoon, everyone. This is Paul Gillespie, Vice President and Senior Client Portfolio Manager at Nuance Investments. I want to thank everyone for joining us today for our Nuance MidCap Value Semiannual Update Call. In the email invitation to today's call, there was a link to a presentation that we will be referring to during the call. For any reason, if you do not have that presentation, you can email us at client.services@nuanceinvestments.com, and we'll email it right over to you. Before we begin the discussion today, I do want to let you know that this presentation may include statements regarding the intent, belief, or current expectations of our portfolio management team. Actual results may differ materially from such forward-looking statements due to a number of factors, including changes in general economic conditions, market liquidity, market volatility, and other market, financial, or governmental uncertainties. During today's call, we'll be giving an update on our firm and team. We will also go through a summary of the investment process and updated performance. We will conclude our prepared remarks with a review of 2018 and a discussion on our 2019 outlook. We will then open up the call for questions. With that, I'll turn the call over to our President and Chief Investment Officer, Scott Moore. Scott?
Thanks, Paul, and thanks, everyone, for joining us today. Again, my name is Scott Moore, and I'm the President and Chief Investment Officer of Nuance Investments. As Paul indicated, the agenda today is on page 2 of your presentation. We will provide an update on the firm, on our team, and, of course, on our process. And then we will review 2018 and, of course, provide you with a going-forward outlook on what we're seeing across the market set of opportunities. On page 3 first, a firm-wide update. We've had a very eventful and exciting 2018 here at Nuance as we were able to reach an agreement to purchase all non-employee-owned stock from our co-founder, Montage Investments, LLC. We want to extend our gratitude to everyone at the Montage Mariner family, and specifically my great friend Marty Bicknell, for all of their advice, their support, and their friendship during the first 10 years of Nuance's life. Next, we've received some pretty great news over the last few weeks about all three of our firm's products since inception performance. Our Nuance MidCap Value product, the focus of today's call, achieved Morningstar's 5-star rating designation status for its first 10 years of history, and it's also in the first percentile of its peer group on a risk-adjusted return basis or Sharpe ratio basis since inception. Further, our Nuance Concentrated Value product, an all-cap concentrated product, just received word that it received Morningstar's 5-star rating for the entirety of its first 10 years of life and existence, and it's also in the first percentile of its peers on a risk-adjusted return or Sharpe ratio basis. And last but not least, our Nuance Concentrated Value Long-Short strategy has been alive for 3 years now, and its since inception Morningstar rating was also released over the past few weeks, and it also has a 5-star designation. So very pleased with the performance of all three of our Nuance products since their inception and provides a good launching pad for our firm. And certainly reflects, I think, well on our team and our process and the consistency of what we're trying to accomplish here at Nuance. From an assets under management perspective, from our original seed capital 10 years ago of $30 million, the firm is now over $2.2 billion of AUM, up from around $2 billion a year ago, considering the market declines of the year. We're certainly pleased with those numbers and want to thank our clients for their continued support and trust. On page 4, you can see the investment team that manages the assets for our MidCap Value product. The team is very stable and experienced group that has utilized this investment process for quite some time and cumulatively has over 75 years of investment experience. Importantly, this entire group largely grew up on the nuance investment process, and we have utilized this approach as a group through many business cycles, valuation cycles, including the Nifty 50 of the mid to late 90s, the tech bubble of the late 90s, of course, the subsequent tech burst, and the move towards small and mid-cap value-oriented stocks in the early 2000s, the commodity and finance boom we saw in the mid-2000s, and, of course, the financial recession we saw in 08 and 09, and then leading into what has really been a kind of a slow growth 9 to 10-year economic expansion period that we've really seen throughout most of the life of Nuance Investments. Clearly, our goal is to keep this investment team very stable and cohesive for many years to come, so that our clients can continue to gain confidence and trust in our expertise and depth of knowledge of this process and our ability to pick one-off stocks each and every day. On page 5, you can see a single-page schematic of our investment process. I won't go into stark detail, just a brief overview as a reminder to most of you on the call. This process has not changed since the inception of Nuance, and you can be assured it will not be changing going forward. Consistency of people, consistency of process, is so critical to consistent execution and long-term performance from our perspective. The bigger picture summary is that Nuance is a bottoms-up, one stock at a time, classic value investment firm, searching for leading business franchises to monitor and study and purchase only when the risk-reward is excellent versus other market opportunities. Over all these years, we've identified about 250 companies that have the traits of what we call Nuance leading business franchises, and those businesses get placed on our Nuance Investments Master List. Those traits include above average returns on capital versus their sub-industry peers over time, better than average balance sheets versus their sub-industry peers over time, and they typically have number one or number two market share positions that we believe are competitively sustainable over the next 5, 10, or even potentially in some cases 15 years going forward. A very critical aspect of our work is the sustainability of a company's competitive position and really the avoidance of competitive transitions over time. Through my experience and our team's experience, those are the most obvious ways to have value traps and lose capital for our clients when you miss or misanalyze a competitive transition, so it's a very critical part of our investment process. Once this group of 250 leaders was and has been identified, and from time to time we'll certainly get new members of that group. We then research, model, and study the businesses in depth for many years. Some of these we've studied for as many as 2 to 3 decades now. A critical part of that work is the modeling, the financial modeling of each business to a mid-cycle or normal set of financial statements. With this mid-cycle or normal set of financial statements, which include proprietary estimates of earnings, EBITDA, cash flows, balance sheet items, cash flow statement items, really the entire array of financial statements. We then perform a very extensive valuation study of each company. That valuation study emphasizes both a fair or intrinsic value estimate today for each company that meets that strict criteria that we apply, along with the knowledge that today's fair value will be growing nicely into the future because these are competitively advantaged businesses. The study also includes a very important trough value study that focuses on how low of a valuation and a price we believe a stock can trade during a difficult period for the company or a recession-like period for the economy in general, which impacts most of the companies, if not all of them, on our list. The overall goal of our Nuance process being to maintain an in-depth knowledge base for each of these 250-ish leading business franchises and understand very clearly what the risk-reward ratio is for each based on our fundamental work each and every day. So with that backdrop, how did 2018 go for us and how has our performance been over the longer term? First, we would remind our clients of our primary performance goals over time. These are the goals we set forth at the inception of Nuance Investments and our goals that we have conveyed over the years to our clients and is really the focus of our team. There's 4 overriding performance goals we think about for each of our products. For our mid-cap value product, first, we want to beat our primary benchmark more times than not on a calendar year basis. while that is a shorter-term time horizon, we believe it's very important that our clients, we acknowledge that our clients have their own clients that they meet with annually to discuss calendar year performance basis. And our expectation based on our history with this process and how it operates is that we should be able to beat our primary benchmark more times than not on a calendar year basis. We certainly will not outperform each and every year, and we know our clients don't expect that, but more times than not, we certainly should be able to do that. Second, and I think getting into the real meat of our goals, beating our primary benchmark, the Russell Midcap Value Index, through a full market cycle and over the long term with less risk. Third, beat our secondary benchmark, the S&P 500, through a full market cycle and over the long term with less risk. And then our last performance goal, we want to beat our peer groups since inception and, of course, with less risk. Taking all of these goals one at a time, on page 6 of your presentation, you can see that 2018 was a solid year for us and our mid-cap value product, as we were down about 4.88% net of fees versus our primary benchmark, the Russell Mid-Cap Value Index, down 12.31%, around over 700 basis points of alpha for the year. So really a very solid year for us. I'm very pleased with the overall results for our product versus that benchmark. As to our goal, we would turn your attention to the bottom chart. With 2018 in the books, we can now say that we've outperformed our primary benchmark 9 of our first 11 years of existence here at Nuance, assuming you include our stub year of 2008, and if you don't, 8 out of 10 years without that stub year being included. Our second goal to observe is the outperformance versus our primary benchmark, the Russell Midcap Value Index, over the long term, and of course, looking also for less risk. As again, we just celebrated our 10th anniversary, we were pleased with our 14.46% net of fee annual percentage versus the Russell Midcap Value Index, up 12.16. I would also note that we did outperform that benchmark with less risk as measured by standard deviation. The third critical goal is to outperform the secondary benchmark, the S&P 500 index, over the long term with less risk. Our numbers, again, over 10 years are quite solid, as we're up 14.45% net of fees on an annual percentage basis versus the S&P up 12.2%. And again, we've been able to achieve that outperformance with less risk than that primary, that secondary benchmark since our inception. And then finally, on performance, our final goal is to outperform our peers over the long term with less risk. If you'll turn to page 7, you can see our performance versus our peers since inception, basically right at 10 years. You can see that we are first percentile versus the Morningstar Midcap Value Peer Group, first percentile versus the Lipper Midcap Value Peer Group since our 2008 inception on a total return basis. Importantly, to our team, if you'll look at the middle data column on page 7, which is our standard deviation or measure of risk, we are among the least risky products within our peer groups as measured by standard deviation, which, of course, is our internal benchmark to measure the riskiness of our product versus our peers. You put those two numbers together, and on a Sharpe ratio basis since inception, that yields a ranking of first percentile versus all of our peer groups over the 10-year horizon. So on page 8, what drove performance versus the Russell Midcap Value Index in 2018 for our Nuance Midcap Value product? First, our performance was led by the financial sector, specifically our underweight in banks, which actually was a very solid performer for us in recent previous years. We had moved away from that space on a valuation basis and actually transitioned our weightings in the portfolio into the property and casualty and life insurance industry areas. And that transition helped us significantly through the year. The healthcare sector was also an outstanding sector for us, as stock selection led by Smith & Nephew, Becton Dickinson, and Mazor Robotics resulted in over 100 basis points of outperformance versus our benchmark over the course of the year. Next, our stock selection in the material sector. Two stocks led the way. Both Ecolabs and Aptar Group, two of our favorite long-term market share stable franchises over time, were both actually up during the down market year and benefited us greatly. Other positive contributors, and there were quite a few, to actually cumulatively get to over 700 basis points of alpha. Our underweight in the energy sector was very positive. stock selection in the industrial sector helped that space, and underweight in the consumer discretionary sector helped. And again, stock selection helped quite a bit in the information technology sector, led by Xilinx, and Wisconsin-based water meter maker Badger Meter Inc. was also a great stock for us this year. As for negatives, from an attribution perspective, the only real negative was a quite modest 36 basis point negative attribution from the consumer staples sector, as our overweight stance in a relatively poor performing sector was not offset enough by stock selection, which ended up being roughly average versus that group. So that space was modestly negative for us. We continue to like the space going forward, led by our holding in Sanderson Farms, ticker symbol SAFM, which I'll talk about more in just a minute. Our final topic today is our team's 2009 outlook, and you can turn to page 9 to see a few highlighted items in that regard. As always, we remind our clients that these views are a direct result of the fundamental research and valuation work and analysis that we've performed on each of these leading, almost 250 leading business franchises over time. These outlooks really do not have a direct macro overlay, and they certainly don't have a short-term view of market direction. There are observations from studying these businesses over a very long period of time, and the perspective that we have on them is, are the businesses over or under earning their more normalized levels? Is the balance sheet more or under levered relative to the histories? Is the capital spending higher or less than their more normalized levels? And where, importantly, is the valuations for this entire group of leaders as we kind of roll them up? So four things that we would note that we are seeing as we enter 2019. First, leverage continues to be, and as most of the folks on this call will know, we've been writing about it now for over a year. Leverage continues to be a pretty serious issue, certainly across the broad market, and when you look at broad data, but in our list of 250 leaders, we also see historical debt-to-EBITDA levels increasing from low to mid-ones on average up to now. That's what we used to see. Today's levels are actually approaching 2 to 2.5 times net debt-to-EBITDA. Leverage as a factor leads to over-earnings in companies, as what you'll see is just directly taking on leverage expands returns on equity for the short term. But unfortunately, what ends up happening with leverage is during more cyclically negative periods, economic recessionary periods, that leverage really becomes a very heavy burden on not only the stock, but the company's fundamentals, and we typically see companies recapitalize, unfortunately, for shareholders who own those companies through that time. Very importantly, there's a lot of downside risk in those stocks that have levered versus their historical levels. We would also note that tax rates are an issue. The recent tax cut in the United States led to what we believe to be an unsustainable expansion of returns on capital for our broad group of leaders we've been following for a very long time. And I wouldn't really go so far as to say fake earnings growth, but certainly unsustainable earnings growth that we saw last year for many of the companies we have tracked and studied. After much study ourselves and discussion with the companies that we've been following for so long, we see little reason to believe that the long-term sustainable returns on capital will expand simply due to Congress deciding to cut taxes. Rather, economic realities and classic competition will result in those returns reverting back to more normal levels over the next couple of years. If you really think about the end game of that, that might create quite the headwind for earnings growth in those companies that had significant earnings growth just simply due only to the tax rate cut. Finally, valuations. Valuations are relatively expensive still for our group of leading business franchises. The average PE multiple at year-end was about 21 times on mid-cycle earnings for our entire list. This group has heard me talk about our historical valuation metrics on a PE basis. We obviously also look at enterprise value EBITDA, dividend yields, unlevered free cash flow yields, and many other valuation metrics. But just on a more simple mid-cycle PE basis, based on our own internal work, the range of PE multiple has been 9 to 10 times for our group at the trough, think March of 2009, and it actually peaked this year, this past year in 2018, kind of in the summer to early fall, kind of around the mid-20s, kind of at peak. So we're still at 21 to 22 times, actually, in real time, we've actually moved back closer to 22 or 23 times with this recent market rally here after year end. So we're still seeing some valuation issues, certainly across the market, less so than we had before the significant correction in the fourth quarter, but it's still there for sure. So that was a lot of not great news, but the good news is there is actually some really good news across the risk rewards of our group of leaders, and certainly in our Nuance mid-cap value portfolio. We see pockets of opportunities and one-off stocks that have significantly better risk rewards than the market as a whole. Examples of those one-off risk rewards include several of our largest holdings, which we think really do exhibit our process and show how focused we are on bottoms-up stock selection and risk rewards. Dentsply Sirona, the ticker symbol is XRAY. We lovingly call it X-Ray, is a classic case. X-Ray is one of the three dominant providers of dental supplies and equipment to dentists globally, along with Danaher and 3M. The company's had very stable market share over the long term and an oligopoly market share structure that exhibits very attractive trades as we think about the future 5, 10, 15-year period going forward. So we think a very sound competitive position for X-Ray. Three things have caused X-Ray's earnings power to decline below their more mid-cycle or what we call normalized levels of earnings. The first, one of the company's primary distributors, Patterson Companies, ticker symbol PDCO, found themselves significantly overstocked in X-Ray equipment and supplies at the end of the last year for multiple reasons. Second, X-Ray sells about two-thirds of their products outside of the United States, and actually the strong dollar that we saw over the year actually hurt results to a little more significant degree than I think the market expected. And then finally, a broader competitive dynamic in the distribution channel as Amazon is threatening PDCO and other dental distributors, which that competitive threat in the distribution for the equipment and the supplies to the ultimate dentist has resulted in tighter inventory levels across the entire dental chain, which has led to near-term earnings erosion and margin compression for X-Ray. All of these factors in our mind are transitory, and X-Ray's earnings power today has fallen from $2.30, $2.40 down to about $2 or so, and we think actually the more normalized earnings level is around $2.60 to $2.70 per share. At our approximate average cost of $40 per share, we bought these shares for our clients at around 14 to 15 times PE, versus the broader Nuance master list of around 21 times. So a good example of a high-quality company, sustainable market share position, under-earning its normalized earnings power due to transitory reasons, and as a result, a lot of negative movement in the stock, which is creating a great risk-reward for our clients of Nuance Mid-Cap Value. Second, Sanderson Farms is another idea we continue to like. We've written about it quite a bit recently. Ticker symbol is SAFM. Sanderson is a fully integrated poultry processing company with dominant market share in the southeast and southwest regions of the United States. It's a leader in a very attractive segment of the food sub-industry as poultry is taking market share from other proteins over time, as well as packaged foods over time. So almost a double share gainer in their category. If that wasn't quite enough good news on the competitive front, Sanderson also has taken share in the poultry-only market over the past decade or so, slowly but surely, and are very well known to be an excellent low-cost operator in this business. Lastly, Sanderson has a debt-free balance sheet, which is in sharp contrast to other protein competitors like Pilgrim's Pride and Tyson Foods, and we think suggest actually some very good things about their historical use of our capital. And when they're going through transitory negative periods, that strong balance sheet actually comes into favor to support the stock through those pressure-packed periods, and we've seen some of that over the last 6 months or so. Recent poor stock price performance was the direct result of earnings expectations falling from what were really $12 to $13 per share-ish over a year ago down to about $1 to $2 per share as rising feed costs and lower protein prices due to tariffs and trade uncertainty squeezed margins. Based on our historical studies of the business for really well over a decade, we believe these issues to be clearly transitory and the normal earnings power is actually closer to $10 to $11 per share. At our average cost of about $100 to $110 on the stock price, we were buying this debt-free market share gaining business at about 10 times or so debt-free earnings. We're already starting to see some earnings expansion as we got a little bit of chicken price relief off the troughs, and the stock has rallied to the low 120s today. So not a bad stock so far, but still quite a bit of movement to go for this company. So we like it quite a bit. My final example of a stock idea, one-off late-cycle stock idea, is Travelers Corporation, dominant property and casualty insurance company with stable to growing market share in the small to mid-sized property and casualty insurance space. That slow, stable market share growth over the last decade is a strong indicator of a sustainable competitive position for Travelers. Ticker symbol is TRV. The reason for its underperformance over the last year or two and the valuation attractiveness relates to the recent number of catastrophes around the United States, where most of their business is. Hurricanes, wildfires have been very disruptive, and those events lead to near-term earnings erosion for property and casualty providers, Travelers being among them. With a stronger balance sheet than most of its peers, the company is earning about $10 to $11 per share versus our more normal of $11 to $12. Trading at $125 per share, we're buying Travelers at 10 times-ish mid-cycle earnings, which is really an attractive valuation, particularly when you think of it versus our entire Nuance Master List trading at closer to 22 times or so as I speak. Each of these three examples represent why we are overweight today: the healthcare sector, the consumer staples sector, and the insurance industry. The one-off transitory nature of these issues is providing the opportunity in each case, and is very typical of latter stage cyclical sort of opportunities that we see. And with that, I want to conclude my comments by thanking our clients for their continued confidence and support. It really has been a fantastic first 10 years here at Nuance, and we are incredibly excited for the future. That concludes my prepared remarks, and we can open it up to any questions.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then one on your touchtone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, you may press the pound sign or the hash key. And if you're using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up on your handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone at this time. I do have one question in the queue from Thomas Howard with Noyes LLC. Your line is open.
Greetings, and I thank you very much for the transparency and the depth of your calls every time. I always appreciate them. I'm wondering in light of your analysis of the PEs of your holdings, if you have a trigger that will move you to do some selling.
So for each company, Thomas, what we have is a very direct PE target. That's one of about 5 or 6 or 7, depending on the particular company, valuation metrics that we use to determine a fair value today for the companies that we are owning for you and your clients. We also obviously have the downside metric as well. The selling of a particular company, which it's always one stock at a time, comes from the fact that, you know, when we sell is when the valuation actually, the price of the stock exceeds the valuation of the company we're following. As an example, Sanderson Farms, we have a PE multiple target of about 15 times. I indicated to you around a $10 to $11 normal earnings number. So that stock, as we approach $150, we would be pondering, all things being equal, if there are other opportunities out there that might be better. One of the other reasons we'll potentially sell a stock, and it doesn't happen very often, is if we misstep on a competitive analysis. That would be a trigger for us to sell a stock. And from time to time, we'll just actually see, because of market movements, better risk rewards. So to use Sanderson again, if the stock would just sit tight here at $120, $125, and the entire market around it were to go down in a recession-like difficult period like we saw in 2008, there would be a chance that we would sell some of the Sanderson to move it into better risk reward. So those are the three ways and reasons we sell individual stocks. And cumulatively, when you think about us selling stocks within our portfolio, it really is a bottoms-up, one stock at a time decision.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, it wouldn't necessarily mean selling 100%, but that certainly could be one of your choices.
That would be correct. In fact, I think the way we think about stocks and the way we buy and sell stocks is typically more measured. As stocks get more attractive risk rewards, which is typically when they're going down, we are adding to the weight in the portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And conversely, mm-hmm. if the stock is starting to outperform, the risk reward is getting worse versus the market opportunities. So we'll typically hold weight or even potentially reduce weight in a measured way. We actually mm-hmm. think that easing in and easing out based on risk rewards versus the market set of opportunities, we believe that's actually one of the reasons why we're able to have the outperformance versus our benchmarks over the long term with such attractive risk characteristics, lowest decile sort of risk characteristics. So it's a very measured approach, making sure we're focused on the risk rewards.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We do have one more question in the queue. And as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. The next question comes from Sandy. You're from Ameriprise. Your line is open.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. Kind of related to the last... Hi. How are you?
Yeah, how are you?
Related to the last commentary you made about the risk-reward. So can you talk about that relation to cash? Do you still have cash as its max weight? And what is that weight again? And also maybe comment on something like Lindsay, which I know has had a couple tough 3 months. Has that decline in the stock price tripped the risk-reward, and are you increasing that position?
Yeah, great question, Sandy, and good to talk to you. So first on cash, through last year, we were very close to our maximum cash position as the culmination of the 250 Lears were showing really significant downside risk to fare as a group. So we wanted to be pretty cautious in the portfolio, so we had about 9% cash. The real significant downdraft in the market over the fourth quarter did ease some of that overvaluation. So we're able to bring cash down to in the neighborhood of about 7% or so today. But I don't want to get you too excited. There's still some overvaluation there that needs to come out before we put it all to work. So easing it down, which I think is very consistent with what you and most of our clients would expect, as the market comes down, as we see a correction, that improves the risk rewards of these leading business franchises. And as they get attractive, we're certainly going to put the cash to work on an opportunistic basis. As it relates to Lindsay, one of our favorite, especially agricultural equipment companies, all things irrigation, precision agriculture theme, gaining market share versus traditional agricultural items, because the precision agricultural theme is such a strong long-term theme for farmers and, of course, obviously their clients. So we really like Lindsay over the long term. Balance sheet is outstanding. We actually reduced almost all of the stock north of 100 as the stock really just got ahead of itself throughout this last year. Had a little bit of light quarter, seeing a little bit of law of large numbers come back after a long run of revenue growth. So the stock's back now to about 80 to 85, 85, 88 exactly today. And we're starting to see some modest upside potential in Lindsay. So we actually have started a position back in Lindsay here post its recent correction. So one we like over the long term. I wouldn't call it a pounding the table idea yet, but certainly enough where we have a position in Lindsay today and certainly do like it over the long term. I think it's a takeout candidate, an acquisition candidate for some of the larger agricultural equipment companies over the long term as well. So a name we have bought and sold multiple times over the years, and a name that we think can add a lot of alpha to our clients over the long term.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for the question.
Okay. Sir, there are no more questions in the queue.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us today for our Nuance Mid-Cap Value Semi-Annual Update Call. Just as a reminder, for more information about Nuance and to stay up to date on our strategies, please visit our website. Have a great day.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.